All right, so you know how sometimes you hear a story and it's just like instantly unsettling?
Yeah, definitely. Like, what kind of story?
Well, imagine, okay, you're online and you come across a dating profile. It's got your picture, your name. Okay, normal so far, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, assuming you have a dating profile.
Right, of course. But then you look closer and it's full of, well, sexually explicit stuff that you obviously never posted.
Oh, wow. That's creepy.
Yeah, and it gets worse. The profile also has your real home address, your phone number, like all your actual contact info.
Okay, so someone's basically trying to like totally mess with your life.
Right. And then the messages start coming in, not just weird online stuff, but actual threats. Even a fax, get this, threatening your kid.
That's seriously messed up, like way beyond a prank.
This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This actually happened to the actress Chase Masterson.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it led to this huge legal fight, Carafano v. Metro Splash. We're gonna kind of dive deep into that case today.
Because it gets into some like really fundamental questions about the internet, right?
Totally. It really shaped how we understand internet immunity. Like, when can a website be held responsible for something a user does?
And that all comes down to Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, or CDA.
Yeah, CDA Section 230. It's basically this legal shield that protects online platforms. You know, like they're generally not considered responsible for what their users post.
Right. Like, think of Facebook. If someone posts something awful, you sue the person, not Facebook, usually at least.
Right, exactly. It's this huge protection. But then you think about what happened to Chase Masterson with that fake profile, and it makes you wonder, like, where's the line?
Yeah, when should a website be held responsible? When is it their fault? That's what we're going to look at today.
Exactly. So let's get into the details of what happened in this case because it's pretty disturbing.
Okay, so the facts are definitely unsettling. I've got an anonymous person who created this completely fake profile for Christian Carafano.
Carafano, yeah, that's Chase Masterson's real name.
Right. And this wasn't just some, harmless joke. This profile was packed with sexually explicit stuff. And that alone is bad enough.
Definitely.
But on top of that, they included her real personal information, home address, phone number, email, all just sitting there on this fake profile for anyone to see.
And, predictably, she started getting bombarded with all these harassing messages, threats, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, it's just awful. And then, like you said, it escalated even further. A fax threatening her son, that's a whole other level of scary.
Totally. It shows how online stuff can have real-world consequences. You know, it's not just happening on a screen somewhere.
Absolutely. So Carafano, I mean, who wouldn't, decided to sue Matchmaker.com. Makes sense, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Her lawyers argued it was invasion of privacy, defamation, hurting her reputation. They also said Matchmaker.com was negligent, like they didn't do enough to stop this kind of thing from happening.
Right, but I'm guessing things didn't go her way at first.
You're right. The district court sided with Matchmaker.com. They said, hey, Section 230, remember, that protects us.
Oh, wow. That must have been frustrating for her. So what happened next? Did she just give up?
Nope. She took the case to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay, good for her.
And her argument there got really interesting. She basically said, because Matchmaker.com has that questionnaire, the template for making a profile, they were kind of like co-authors of the content.
Huh, that's a clever angle. So it's not just the user posting stuff, the website helped create it in a way.
Right. So this is where CDA Section 230 really comes into play. We need to like unpack what it actually says.
Okay, yeah, let's break it down.
So the key part is Section 230 C1. It basically says that an interactive computer service isn't legally responsible for information provided by another user, like a third party.
Okay, so matchmaker.com, that's definitely an interactive computer service, right? I mean, people create profiles, they message each other, it's interactive.
Exactly. Now, the big exception to this protection is if the platform acts as an information content provider, meaning they create or develop the content themselves.
Okay, I see. So if they cross that line, they might lose that protection.
Exactly. And that's where Carafano's argument comes in. She was saying that Matchmaker.com, with their questionnaire, they kind of stepped into that content provider role.
Right. It's like, who's really responsible for the bad stuff in that profile? Is it just the user or is it the website too because of how they set things up?
You got it. That was the big question the court had to decide. Was Matchmaker.com just providing a space for users, or did they become a creator of the harmful content?
All right, so what did the Ninth Circuit say? Who did they side with?
Well, they ultimately ruled in favor of Matchmaker.com. They agreed with the lower court. They said Matchmaker.com was an interactive service provider, not a content provider.
So even with that questionnaire providing those fields to fill in, they weren't responsible for the actual content.
Right. The court was very clear about that. They said Matchmaker.com provided the structure, sure. But the user was the one who chose to put in those harmful details, those lies, those threats.
So it's like they gave the tools, but the user was the one misusing them.
Exactly. It's like the platform is a stage, and the user is the one putting on the bad play.
Makes sense. So how does that immunity thing work exactly? Like, when does it apply?
Well, the court said it applies unless the platform materially contributes to the unlawful content. And in this case, they found that Matchmaker.com didn't do that.
Okay.
They didn't make up those lies. They didn't add the threats. That all came from the user. The website just hosted the content.
Got it. So it sounds like they were really looking at the original intention behind Section 230, right? Like what Congress was trying to do.
Oh, absolutely. The court was very aware of that. They said Congress wanted to protect these online platforms, let them grow and innovate, and they didn't want them to be constantly afraid of lawsuits because of what users might post.
I mean, I get it. If every website was worried about getting sued for everything, the internet would be a very different place.
Right. And the court recognized that. They said this protection exists even when bad things happen, like what happened to Carafano. Kind of a trade-off, you know?
Yeah, it's tough. You want to protect free speech and innovation, but you also don't want people to be harmed online.
Absolutely. It's a real balancing act. And the court used this great analogy to explain their thinking.
Oh, what was it?
They compared Matchmaker.com's questionnaire to Mad Libs. You know that game where you fill in the blanks?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So someone creates the template, right? But the person filling in the blanks is the one who makes the actual sentences.
Right.
And if those sentences end up offensive, you wouldn't blame the Mad Libs publisher. Right. It's the person who wrote the words.
Yeah, I see your point.
And the court said it's the same with that online profile. Matchmaker.com made the structure, but the user chose the bad content.
That's a really clear way to think about it. So did the court actually like lay down a specific rule for future cases?
Not exactly a formal step-by-step test, but they did highlight a couple of key things.
Okay. What were they?
First, they looked at whether the defendant was actually an interactive service, which in this case was obvious.
Right.
And second, they really focused on whether the platform actually created the harmful content. Yeah. And they were very clear that Matchmaker.com didn't do that.
Okay, so it really came down to the user's actions.
Right. They even had some strong wording in their decision to emphasize that. They said, quote, Congress chose not to deter harmful online speech through the separate route of imposing tort liability on companies that serve as intermediaries for other parties' potentially injurious messages.
Wow, that's a mouthful. But it sounds like they're saying that Congress specifically wanted to protect platforms even when users post bad stuff.
Exactly. And they said something else that was really important. They said, quote, no profile has any content until a user actively creates it.
So that really emphasizes that it's the user's responsibility, not the website's.
Right. So all of this whole Carafano v. Metro Splash case, it's actually super important for understanding internet law.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, it really solidified the broad protection that platforms have under Section 230. It established that just providing a template or guidelines doesn't make them liable for what users do. They usually keep that immunity, even if they have some control over the content.
Right. Like you said earlier, it's a trade-off.
It is.
Yeah.
And it creates this tension that we're still dealing with today. You know, we want the internet to flourish, but we also need to protect people from online harm.
Yeah, it feels like this case is still super relevant to all those debates about platform responsibility that are happening right now.
Absolutely. Carafano is often brought up as an example of why Section 230 might need to be changed. You know, some people argue that it gives platforms too much protection, that they should be held accountable in more cases.
Like maybe make exceptions for certain types of harmful content, like specifically for harassment or when someone posts private information without consent.
Exactly. Cases like this show why those conversations are so important. We need to figure out how to balance protecting free speech with protecting people from harm.
So in a nutshell, Carafano v. Metro Splash basically said that online platforms are generally protected from being sued for content their users create, even if it's bad stuff.
Yep, that's the gist of it.
Good.
And it's based on the idea that they didn't create the content themselves.
Right, and this ruling had a huge impact on internet law, and it's still shaping the discussions we're having today.
It really is. And it leaves us with this question that's still unanswered. Like, what are the right limits for platform immunity? How do we balance all these competing interests?
Yeah, it's a lot to think about. Well, folks, that's our deep dive for today. Next time you're scrolling through your favorite website, remember cases like Carafano and the laws that shape how those platforms operate. And hey, maybe double check your privacy settings while you're at it, just in case.